Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. This week in the podcast, we are looking at eczema, and I'm going to be sharing with you a kind of fourfold approach to dealing with, supporting, and helping your body to overcome eczema on your skin. It's something I've experienced a lot of, my son has experienced, clients experience. So I'm going to take you through this episode like you were a client coming to me and go through what I would do in terms of helping you overcome eczema, creating a really personalized program to support that. So I'm going to go through that four areas plus a fifth kind of bonus area, which is going to be a lot of fun. I love kind of all this geeky practical stuff. It's totally my jam. Otherwise, how are you doing? Life on this side of the microphone is plodding along. It's been a difficult weekend. I'm not going to lie. I'm recording this on a Tuesday. It was pre-period, that luteal phase, and the whole world felt like it was crashing down. I've not had a couple of days like that for a while. And I know there's lots of reasons. I do know why that was in terms of stress and stuff going on in personal life. But yeah, man, then when I started my period yesterday, I was like, thank the freaking Lord. I love our cycles so much. It's just such... I'm just a big fan. I just think how our periods, and what I mean by cycle is our menstrual cycle as women, I just think it's so powerful and so helpful. And I'm so glad I am not of the male gender and that I get to bleed and just be able to work through all this stuff. Just love it. So anyway, that's maybe a bit too much TMI, but I don't care. The more we talk about it, the more normal it will become, because I do not want my children and my children's children to be hiding their tampons as they go to the toilet and pretending that they don't bleed every month just to keep patriarchal society happy. But we'll not talk about the TP, as I call it in this house, the patriarchy. TP for short. Otherwise, I made a salad the other day with some salad leaves that I had grown with my own fair hands, which was impressive. I mean, it was literally about three salad leaves in a huge bowl of salad that was mainly shop-bought stuff. But my life is now complete. So that has been happening. Otherwise, oh yeah, I've been finishing up the Beat the Bloat program. So we had like 67 women go through that program over 2 weeks. And oh, the feedback from women who have stopped being bloated, feeling better, changed their relationship with food, mindset shifts, figured out why they're bloated, their food intolerances. In just 14 days, it's been phenomenal. I read a couple of things yesterday that nearly made me cry, and just in terms of feedback from the clients I've been working with in that, which is so encouraging. So do know if you're bloated, you have IBS, or whatever health issue, whether it's eczema, PCOS, there is hope. So much of what I talked about in the program is just about figuring out your root causes. When you figure out your root causes, you can make so much progress. So that has been really awesome. And then obviously I've still been working with some clients. I actually was going through lots of stool tests with clients, and some of those, I'd done a couple of stool tests with clients kind of midway through a program, and the results were great. Their microbiome was looking pretty healthy. Now, these were clients that were coming to me with chronic diarrhea, big breakdowns, terrible digestion. We've spent several months kind of working on their digestion to improve it. I want to run a stool test to just check in with progress, to check in with what's happening. And their stool tests were looking really healthy. No pathogens, no inflammatory bacteria. They're digesting their food well. Their immune markers are looking good, which is so encouraging. I love it when I work with clients. And then when we get to retest, I'm waiting on test results from another client who I've been working with severe osteoporosis. And we're about to retest just a couple of his minerals of calcium and magnesium. And I love the retesting because yes, clients that I work with feel better, as in like they go, oh, I have more energy, my bloating's gone, I have normal poos, my skin's cleared up, you know, all the practical stuff that people tell me, lose weight. I had one client give me feedback this week where she was just like, I just feel, for the first time in my life, I just feel really healthy. And her joints were better, and she was a nurse, and so she's been obviously working a lot more recently, and her joints were doing so much better. And anyway, all these things But it's really helpful when you see that quantitative data of, okay, no pathogens, good diversity of bacteria, or this mineral status has gone up, or someone's B12, or their thyroid antibodies have gone down, or their T4 has improved, and all of these more quantitative test results. I do love that. And that's why I love running tests with my clients. And just so you know, when you work with me as well, I do include some credit for testing. £100 worth of testing is included when you work with me, so that we'll always be able to run some sort of check-in tests, whether it's thyroid, hair mineral, or like bigger tests, and that credit goes towards these bigger kind of stool analysis tests or organic acid tests, those kinds of things. So do know that is a part of working with me, and you do get discounts to other testings as well. So if that's something you're interested in, then do head over to keziehall.com and click the work with me page. I only take on a couple of clients a month, and I'm recording this at the start of June. And so that June might fill up quickly, but you could always book in for July. I've already got about 3 people looking to work with me in June. And so, but you can book a call with me and then we could get started in July, which would be awesome. Or maybe sooner. We'll see. See how much I can persuade my husband to do childcare. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. The nursery is still not open, so it's the parenting juggle. But it's actually working pretty well here. Okay, I've waffled on long enough. I hope you're doing good. Sending you lots of love. Thank you for being here. And let's talk about your 4-part plan to dealing with eczema in a natural, holistic, functional medicine approach. Let's talk about sex, baby. No, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about eczema, baby. It's not as catchy. But that's what we're talking about, eczema. And I'm going to share with you the kind of 4-part process. If you are struggling with eczema and you want to deal with it, or if your kids are, you are, whatever it is, what are the 4 kind of stages and the 4 things that you would need to look at and address? So this is a really jam-packed episode. This is how I'm treating this, as if you're coming to me, you're like, Kezia, I'm really struggling with eczema. This is all the things that I would look at as a holistic nutritionist, and all the things that I would base your personalized program on would be based on these 4. And there's also kind of a 5th one as well that I'll share, would all be based around these things in terms of helping you to heal and recover from eczema. So this is golden. So if you know someone who's struggling with eczema, or know someone whose kids are struggling with eczema, share this with them. A couple of things. So often eczema is something that children struggle with a lot. I found it with my son. He struggled with eczema as a baby. So we kind of implement some of these things. But it is worth knowing with kids, it is different in terms of how you approach things, dietary changes, that kind of thing. So it's really helpful if you are maybe wanting to implement some of these things with your kids, that you do that. You go through that with your doctor. You work with a professional practitioner who can actually help make sure that this is appropriate for your children. But all these things, whether you're adult or child, are things that will play a role. Another thing to look at as well is, remember that everyone is different, and this is an educational only kind of podcast. So it's just kind of in terms of a disclaimer. This is to just give you education. You do need to make sure you work through this with professionals, GPs, those kinds of things, whoever you're already working with. But hopefully this will give you just a bit more information and education around what could be happening. So with eczema, what is it? It's basically when your skin gets irritated and there's a kind of excess production of skin cells that can lead to that broken, dry patches, and it can be very uncomfortable. So eczema can range from quite mild. So I will very occasionally, if I'm really stressed out, get tiny patches, kind of eczema patches, often if I just drink too much milk. And which is why I don't drink cow's milk or even regular goat's milk, because it just will give me eczema. And it can range to quite severe, where you might need to be hospitalized for your eczema. If you get it over too much of your body, it can cause a real problem, because your skin is an organ. It's a protective organ. It has a really clear function. If your whole body gets really covered severely in eczema, and I have known this to happen to people, you do often need to go into hospital and have treatment. So it can be really severe. It can be cracking. It can ooze. It can be infected. It's really nasty. So I want to talk about the stakes. A couple of people, it's something I've struggled with, and I get asked actually about this quite a lot from people on Instagram or Facebook, or people ask me a lot about it in terms of their own children. And obviously it's something I've worked with a lot with clients, and it's something that runs in my family. So eczema often comes and is included in this kind of atopic immune response. So often if you have eczema, it's very likely that you might also have asthma, hay fever, other allergies, dog allergies, cat allergies, dust allergies, those kinds of things. And that's known as this more atopic immune response. Now that's kind of a different topic and a different podcast episode in itself in terms of the links of all those different things. But chances are, if you have recurring eczema, there's probably also other things going on, and it's more to do with this bigger kind of immune response, this atopic immune response that is going on. So that's kind of a bit of a background. I'm not going to go too much into that, but it does really play a role. If you come to me as a client and I know you maybe as a child has asthma, and it might not bother you that much now as an adult, but as a child you had asthma and you had steroid inhalers for that, and you maybe are still struggling with eczema as an adult, and you get hay fever and take antihistamines in the summer, then that gives me a lot of information of how your immune system is running. And that's me. I struggled with eczema as a child, hay fever as an adult, and so I am part of that atopic mentality. My husband, asthma, hay fever when he was a child, and a little bit as an adult. So we're a bit of an atopic family, which is why I'm working really hard on all of our healths and on Merlin's healths to kind of not perpetuate that chronic health issues. Because asthma, having to take steroid inhalers, not being able to breathe, although it's really common, is an unpleasant and serious thing. Eczema, again, can be really irritating, uncomfortable, itchy, all of these kinds of things. Hay fever is a pain in the butt. I used to have hay fever so badly for 5 to 6 months of the year, where I'd just be on all the drugs under the sun, and it was totally miserable. So that's why I'm working on it hard with my family, and there's so much that you can do. So what I'm going to share with you here is really just go through quite quickly, because there's a lot to share, the different things that I look at. Say if you're coming to me and you're like, hi Kezia, the main thing, you know, say how I work with clients is over 3 months. So say you're coming to me and you're like, my eczema's really flared up recently. I'm really tired. I've tried all the creams. I've done all the different things. You've maybe done allergy testing with the doctor in a hospital. Maybe you've done food intolerance testing, but it just seems to be getting worse, and it's making me miserable, and I don't want to wear my summer dresses and strappy tops. And these are the things that I would go through in terms of looking at. Now, not all of these things will apply to everyone, but generally speaking, you kind of want to make sure that you cover each of these areas if you're looking to make improvements and just kind of address kind of eczema within the body. Okay, so the first thing we want to look at in terms of where to begin with eczema and in supporting your skin, and this could be relevant, like I talked about in the previous podcast where we talked about skin conditions, this would be relevant for any skin condition, or to be fair, most health issues going on, is you first want to look at food intolerance. So this might be probably, if you came to me and you were, you'd had eczema for a long time, you actually ate a pretty healthy diet, you'd maybe tried being gluten-free, dairy-free, you maybe were consistently gluten and dairy-free, you didn't have much sugar, and your diet was already, you'd kind of looked at this whole food intolerance thing, this might be a situation when I actually might very rarely recommend food intolerance testing. I've done a test called the PINNA test, and there's other kind of labs that you can do that are a little bit more accurate. And if this is something, I'm not a big fan. I can't remember the last time I ordered a food intolerance test for a client, but sometimes this might be where, if you've already made a lot of changes to your diet, this might be when it could be quite helpful, because you might be eating peppers, and they're really irritating and inflammatory to your system, but you eat really healthy and you don't realize that. Or you could have gone paleo, or you could have gone vegan, but you might have a really inflammatory response to soy or to another kind of, to nuts, and you're eating loads of nuts in the paleo. So looking at food intolerances, if you're eating dairy, gluten, those kinds of things, that's probably where you want to start. Those are the most common food intolerances. And often with eczema, when I've worked with clients and with example for myself, I know a lot of my eczema is down to just dairy. And we laugh at it as a family, but most of my family get eczema and doesn't tolerate dairy very well. So, but Christmas time, we all love cheese. We'll eat tons of cheese and then all laugh, because by New Year, we all have like patches of eczema on our inside elbows, which is just the ridiculousness. But we all do love a cheese board. So that's just the way it is. But so I know for me, that's a big trigger. Now, that doesn't necessarily say for everyone, dairy is a big trigger, but starting with dairy and gluten, that's where you want to begin. If you're listening to this and you're like, Kezia, I've been dairy and gluten-free for 2 years and my eczema is still really bad, that's maybe when you want to work with someone like me, maybe run some tests, maybe do a food intolerance test, a good quality food intolerance test, or maybe consider something like the autoimmune paleo protocol, which is basically a really strict elimination diet that you might do for 30 days and then really slowly reintroduce foods to see what is triggering. That's probably also a really good alternative to a test. You don't want to do something like autoimmune paleo protocol for a long time, but for a short period of time, it can be a really helpful elimination kind of diet and process. So number one, food intolerances. Really important. If you are if you have no idea where to begin and you're at the very beginning of this all, start with gluten, start with dairy, see if that helps. And do beware, you might give up dairy and your eczema might improve, but it might not disappear completely. That still means that it's helpful to do. Just because ditching cow's milk isn't your miracle overnight cure doesn't mean it's not helping and isn't part of the problem. But as we'll look at, there'll be other things going on. So it's not just about food intolerances, but food intolerances is a part of the picture. So that's part one. Next thing you want to look at when it comes to eczema is nutrients. It's really common for there to be a lot of nutrient depletions when there's ongoing eczema. And I know this to be the case for myself when I was a child and even as a young adult struggling with it. And I see it with my clients all the time. So there's loads of nutrients that play a key role in your skin health. So I'll just go through them all quite quickly. But vitamin A is really important. That's often why you can get a lot of topical kind of retinoid creams, kind of vitamin A creams. Again, this plays a role in acne and psoriasis. You know, a lot of these principles could be added to any skin issue that you're struggling with. But vitamin A is really important. Zinc is really important. Vitamin C is really essential because that helps in the production of collagen and glutathione, and as well as progesterone and your immune system, all those things. You have your omega-3 fatty acids, which a lot of people are low in. So they really come from oily fish, sardines, mackerel, wild salmon. Those are the best sources as opposed to, say, linseeds. You do get some in linseeds, but you really want fishy oils, often my preferred ones to use. You have vitamin D, vitamin K2, really important. You also have the lesser known nutrients like sulfur, silica, biotin, vitamin E, another fat soluble vitamin, B6, other kind of nutrients that all play a really big role in skin health and regulating your immune system and all of these things. So it's really important. Now, it's important that you don't just write down that list and start just supplementing with all of those things, because for some people, there'll be a different level of depletion than others. And things like vitamin A, I don't really recommend you supplement with vitamin A. It's not ever something I've recommended to a client unless it comes up clearly in the notes. That's something you kind of want to get through more diet, fish oils, cod liver oil. A good quality cod liver oil is often good for that. Things like your vitamin D, you often want to test and check in with that. Your vitamin D level might be fine, but those are all key nutrients that I'm looking at in a client and looking for any other correlating symptoms. So say if they're always getting colds and sniffles and you're always kind of snotty, your vitamin D might be low and you might need vitamin C because your immune system needs a little bit more resources and fuels. If you've got other skin issues going on or have maybe poor thyroid function, then zinc might be playing a role in there. If you've been really stressed out, then vitamin B6 might be playing a really important role. So there's lots of other factors. Eczema is very rarely an isolated issue. So it's very rare that someone comes to me and is like, I have eczema, I'm not stressed, my digestion's fine, I sleep fine, I'm not on any other medications, I'm not on the contraceptive pill, I've not just had a baby. Like, literally the only thing is eczema. Often it comes with other things, maybe some bloating, fatigue, some stress, maybe a history of stress, not sleeping very well, having just had a baby, your hormonal cycle is off, those kinds of things. So eczema often comes with other stuff. Like I mentioned before, it kind of may come with asthma, come with hay fever. Hay fever is often to do with your gut. And so there's a whole array of things, but the nutrients play a really important role. And the things I see most depleted in my clients would be vitamin C, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D and K2, vitamin E often, and obviously vitamin A as well. And because vitamin A, vitamin D and vitamin E and vitamin K2 are fat-soluble vitamins, and most people are afraid of fats or they don't digest fats very well. So we're not getting good amounts of those nutrients. Okay, so nutrients play a really important role in terms of eczema. The next thing that plays a huge role that you need to look at if you're looking to really support and change and overcome kind of eczema skin conditions would be your gut health. So you really want to make sure that you are regularly having good levels of good bacteria into your system, either through fermented foods that can be really helpful for your gut or through probiotics. And you do want to be quite specific about the probiotics you have. I generally recommend everyday probiotics to people. And then I also have more therapeutic spore-based or soil-based probiotics that I use therapeutically with clients. And this would be a time when you would want a more therapeutic one. And a spore-based one would be like a mega spore probiotic that you can use in the UK. I often might recommend that to clients, or a primal defense one, or like a more soil-based one, which isn't that many on the market. So you want your probiotics. And ideally, again, the first place to begin with this would maybe be just to try and introduce some fermented foods. Now, do be aware, some people won't tolerate fermented foods very well, especially if you really struggle with hay fever. Eczema is often linked to histamine, which I'll talk about because that's part, kind of the bonus part five. But having some sort of healthy probiotics in your system can be really helpful. And that's why working with someone can be, again, really useful to figure out which ones are good for you, because sometimes probiotics can make things worse depending on what's going on in your microbiome. But in general, we all need greater diversity going on within our gut. And also in terms of supporting our gut health, we need prebiotics as well. So these are the things that are going to feed your probiotics. And the best form of prebiotics is vegetables. So first of all, you need to have healthy digestion so that you can handle that much fiber. First of all, you need to be able to be optimally digesting the food you're eating. There's no point in making all these dietary changes and eating really good food if you're not thoroughly digesting that food and getting all the nutrients from it. You're not digesting the proteins and the fats and everything, getting all that goodness from all the vegetables. So it's really important. We are what we digest. We're not what we eat. You could have a real food, whole food, low sugar, eat tons of vegetables, salads, homemade soups, all the good things, but still be struggling with your health. And chances are that will be because you're not digesting the food that you're eating properly. You might be like, Kezia, I've been gluten-free, dairy-free. I've taken cod liver oil. I have used topical creams on my skin. I meditate, but my eczema still isn't disappearing. It might be because you are not digesting the awesome food that you're eating very well. And therefore you're not getting the nutrients that is in the food that you're eating, or even supplementing, because supplements that you take in your mouth, like capsules, need to go through the digestive tract. And if your digestive system isn't optimal, then even supplements can be not as effective, which is why transdermal or sublingual, meaning by the mouth, can be a really helpful way of getting nutrients into the system. So gut health, really important, not just in terms of we've got to look at what you're eating in terms of food intolerances, but we also need to look at, are you digesting what you're eating? We are what we digest, we're not what we eat, is a really helpful way of thinking about it. And then obviously prebiotics, the food for the probiotics, which most people aren't getting enough of. And so I've been really trying to ramp this up myself. It's certain fibers like inulin and FOS for short, and acacia, I think powder, a couple of powders that you can have that would be prebiotics, but also just eating tons of variety of vegetables each day and in good amounts, good portions of your vegetables each and every day can be really helpful from a prebiotic perspective. So don't underestimate the power of vegetables, with the caveat that you can digest them. Because if your gut health is really poor, increasing the amount of prebiotics and increasing the amount of fiber can sometimes irritate your digestive system. And you can think you're being really healthy by eating loads of salads and juices and smoothies, but you're more bloated and more uncomfortable. That's often because you're not digesting and what you're eating very well, and there's inflammation going on in the gut often. So gut health, really important. If you come to me as a client and you tell me you have eczema, then in my head, I'm like, ding, 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 gut health. We need to support gut health 100%. And I talked about that in the other episode. We talked about skin conditions and I introduced this idea more because it's like your skin is a map of what is going on in your gut. So number three is supporting gut health. Number four, when it comes to tackling eczema specifically, and again, lots of other skin issues, would be dealing with stress. And I mean this from a really holistic perspective. I'm a holistic nutritionist. I work with all my clients and have a really broad holistic perspective when it comes to all things, but especially stress. So stress is, the emotion, feeling stressed. So work life, trying to homeschool your kids, lockdown, financial stress, all those things that we typically would think of being stressful. But stress can also be the environment that you live in. So does your house have mold? Are you being exposed to heavy metals? Are you living next to a mobile phone tower and getting subject to high EMFs? Did you grow up on a farm and have or live near a farm and get exposed to lots of fertilizers and pesticides being sprayed everywhere? Are you on ongoing long-term medications that, you know, might be really helpful for certain areas of your health, but the side effects and consequence of that is that there's kind of certain just known side effects of that medication and the liver burden of that? Is there heavy metals present? Do you have lots of amalgam fillings? Does your job expose you to lots of chemicals and those kinds of things where you're washing your hands all the time or cleaning products all the time? Do you use a lot of topical stuff on your skin that's irritating? What's your laundry detergent, your washing up liquid, your cleaning materials, what creams are you putting on your skin? What shampoo are you putting on your hair? What about your makeup? All of that sort of stuff, soap, all of those kinds of things can all be stressors. They can all stress out your body, as well as emotions and kids screaming at you and trying to work from home and financial issues and being bullied and relationship issues and people being sick in your family or your dog being sick or whatever it is. All of those things can be stresses and all contributing factors. So if you come to me when we're looking at eczema, and to be fair, looking at any health issue that's going on, PCOS, infertility, bloating, IBS, whatever it is, then we are looking at, okay, what are the stresses that are perpetuating and contributing to this manifestation, which in this episode we're talking about as eczema. The manifestation of stress, manifestation of imbalances is, in this context, is eczema. And often I see with clients, with eczema especially, I'm just trying to think of recent clients with this. I'd say it's really mixed. I have had a client where there was heavy metal issue. Other people, it's a lot just about cleaning up their environment. So laundry, skin stuff, shampoo, those kinds of things, making that a little bit cleaner. And for a lot of people, just the actual mental stress. So supporting their nervous system through mindfulness, through meditation, breath work, really teaching them how to get their nervous system into parasympathetic nervous state on a regular basis, and really kind of working on that can make a huge difference. Huge, huge difference. I know for me that if I get little patches of eczema, it's often when I'm really stressed and a bit burnt out, even if I'm not having dairy. If I let myself get really stressed out and lack in sleep, I'll start to get eczema popping up. I haven't had it for a really long time. It often pops up on my face. I get these little patches just by my eyes as a little reminder from my body of going, hey Kezia, you're too stressed. You need to calm down. And I know after years and years, I know that it's that little starting patch is my body telling me, hey lovely, you need to watch this. You need to look after yourself. So stress is a really important factor, and yes, it is about your emotions. It is about meditating, mindfulness, each and every day, and supporting your nervous system. And it's also looking at some really practical toxins and exposures and things that you might be being exposed to or have been exposed to previously that is still causing inflammation and issues within your body. So those are the four areas. We've got food intolerances. We've got your nutrients that play a key role. We've got gut health and digestion, and then stress. So those are the real foundations. Now, if we were working together, I would kind of pull based on your data, your family history, your symptoms, everything that's going on, pull on the key things that are the biggest part for you. But that's the main framework that I would look at. And the kind of bonus one that I mentioned of number 5 would be histamine. So if you present with hay fever, especially maybe migraines, itchy skin, or any kind of skin issues, and eczema, and any kind of other sort of allergy response, I would be thinking histamine is an issue, and maybe histamine intolerance, or maybe your ability to break down histamine is not very good or struggling, or that you have maybe some bacterial overgrowth in your small intestine and that's contributing to histamine. But histamine can play a big role, and I'm sure I'll do another podcast on that specifically, because we often just think of histamines in terms of hay fever and taking an antihistamine. But histamine is something that your immune system makes, and in the right levels is really important for your health. But often in the case of eczema, hay fever, those kinds of things, the balance of histamine goes a little bit wonky, shall we say, and that can cause problems. So that is also something, especially when there's other symptoms along with eczema, histamine and histamine intolerance can play a role. And there's certain foods that you can eat that have quite high histamine, like fermented foods. So you might be like, Kezia, I'm being all healthy and I'm going to introduce some kefir or sauerkraut, and it might make you more bloated and feel worse, in which case there's definitely a big histamine issue. So that's why this can sometimes feel a little bit like a swamp you're trying to navigate, which is why I do what I do, because I'm the guide through what feels like a swamp to you. For me, is a well-known terrain. I know the swamp of these symptoms really well. It doesn't feel overwhelming to me, and I know how to guide us through, but that's why this can feel so frustrating and difficult. But if you're listening to this in terms of having a bit of an action plan of where to begin, pick one of these things. Have a check-in with your body. See which one of these things really resonates with you. Maybe you're like, oh, you know, Kezia, it's the food intolerances. I know dairy doesn't do me any good, but I just love some milk and my coffee and blah, 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 which I totally get. Then maybe that's where you begin with. Or maybe you're just like, oh, Kezia, I just need to deal with sugar first. I just eat too much sugar. That's my main problem. In which case, that's where you begin. Or maybe you know, oh yeah, actually, yeah, I've not had my vitamin D tested. I reckon vitamin D is probably low. Or when I last got it tested, the GP, it was low. Or maybe you know that you've been really stressed out, so maybe B6 is playing a role, or vitamin C. Maybe you want it, you know, stress is a huge factor. And maybe you've been trying to meditate every day, but you're just like, oh, I'm too busy to meditate. Which is, if you feel too busy and stressed to meditate, my friend, that is because that's like the biggest invitation and need for you to do it. The harder you find meditation, often the more you need to do it. Now, there's different flavors and ways of meditating. You might prefer a moving meditation. You might prefer chanting, singing. I did like a singing chanting meditation in the day, which was so much fun. You might just like a breath work, body scan meditation. There's loads of different ways. So you might need to find your flavor that works for you. You can get faith-based meditations, depending on your faith and belief systems that feels more aligned with that. There's so many ways that you can do it. But the more that you feel like you shouldn't meditate and don't have time to meditate and can't meditate and are rubbish at meditating and are too stressed out and can't get your brain to switch off, it's probably more of a sign that you need to do it. That's my experience anyway. So have a think. We've talked about food intolerances, nutrient intake, gut, and stress. Where of those things, what's one thing in the next month can you focus on? Which one of those areas do you feel like plays the biggest role? What can you make tweaks with? And if you say this is maybe with your kids that you're dealing with this with, then maybe just start with like food intolerances. You know, children generally, children's diets tend to be pretty poor, because I totally get it. You just want your kids to eat food and you don't want it to be a total stress. And they can be, I mean, you know, I only have a nearly 2-year-old and he's already getting a bit fussy and all of those things. But the food that your kid eats is really important. And kids just always get thrown sugar and processed foods. So that would be a great place to start. And obviously be really kind to yourself through this process. It is a process and you were really looking for progress over perfection, okay? And if you are really stuck and struggling and you're like, Kezia, I've done all those things. I've tried food intolerances. I've tried taking random supplements, blah, 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 and then my eczema's worse. Then you might need to come and work with someone or come and work with me. So if you want to find out more about working with me, you can head to keziahall.com, click the Work With Me page, and we can book a chat. And it's a really chill chat. It's like, it's a bit like the podcast, but you get to answer back. Literally just a chat to see, okay, what have you tried? What do I think is going on? What could be some of your root causes? And together we could work together over 3 months so that you can see a big improvement. I know I've seen it in myself. I've seen it in my son. He had a really bad flare up when he was a baby. And so we hit that on the head. So that's not been an issue. And obviously with clients that I've worked with as well. Eczema is a recurring thing. So if you want help, do let me know. Otherwise, I hope this has been helpful. Also, another thing that can be useful is topical, that what you put on your skin. So I'll link into a show notes a cream that I've used with my son, and I often recommend to clients that you can buy as a bit of an alternative. If you find the stuff you're being prescribed isn't helpful, sometimes it can be, some people find the stuff prescribed by their doctors and steroids and things really helpful, but obviously you can't stay on steroid cream, from my knowledge, long term, because it does damage to your skin tissue and because of the side effects. There's some nice natural alternatives that can be really helpful that I've used because I prefer to use to avoid steroids where possible. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes, which you can find at kezihall.com. Just click on the blog and the podcast on there. But I'd love to know your questions. On Instagram, you can DM me, you can leave me a comment on Facebook or Instagram about this area. It's something I know very well. I know how annoying it can be, but there's also, once you figure out why you have it, there's loads that you can do about it. Hooray! Okay, sending you lots of love, and I will see you next week.